Welcome into a brand new episode of Bottom Line Baseball. I'm Alex Fuse, and with me today is Jackson Ryan. Jackson, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. It's great to be having another episode coming out. We'll get forward into talking some baseball.
Absolutely. We have so much to talk about in the baseball world. Jackie Bradley Jr. is one of the last remaining top free agents signing, finally going to a team. He's going to Milwaukee, help out that outfield. And, I mean, that outfield depth, I know we were talking about it preparing for this show. And they got Kane, Yelich, now JBJ. I think this is a great pickup by the Brewers. And kind of like that, I feel like JBJ can really fit nicely in that clubhouse.
No, he can. And it also brings in another left-handed bat as well. 2 years for $24 million. And he'll end up playing center field most likely, move Kane over to left and Yelich out in right field. And you have a great outfield set up for the next couple years.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we also will be making some predictions on where Jake Odorizzi might go. He's still one of that top-tiered free agent out there that we're almost 2 weeks into spring training, and he's still not signed by a team. We'll also be talking about the delayed AAA season, as well as some other predictions out there in the baseball world. Do we think that Chris Bryant is going to be a Chicago Cub come the end of the 2021 season? And we'll also get into a little about our opinion on how spring training games are being run in the first 2 weeks of spring training. But let's get into it a little bit more in depth. We've talked about it a little quickly here, but Jackie Bradley Jr. signs a 2-year, $24 million contract. I'm a huge fan. I know it's not exactly in the price range that JBJ wanted. He wanted closer to $50 million, probably longer than 2 years, but still a pretty good chunk of change for him.
No, and what also is surprising is usually a guy like that, if he's not happy with the contract situation, will play for that one-year contract to get, you know, back on the free agency to see how well he does. And, you know, last year he ended up hitting .283 in a 60-game season, but overall he's been hitting about .239 for his total career. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see if he goes back to the 2020 stats that he had or if he goes back to what he usually has been, because it's hard to judge players off of only 60 games.
Yeah, it's so completely hard to tell. And I know we kind of joked earlier when we were looking, comparing stats on, okay, well, we're talking about JBJ. Well, what did he do last year? And he struggled in 2019 and had a decent 2020. And then we talk about the guy that we'll talk about a little bit later, Chris Bryant, and it's the opposite. You know, Bryant struggled in 2020, bat almost .200. And then in 2019, he bat almost a .300. So I think it's just really 100-game or 102-game difference really does matter.
No, it does. And you want to be able to get all of those at-bats as well, because you're able to find tendencies in a player that a pitcher can export and, you know, attack and, you know, get that batter out on a regular, consistent basis. And only having 60 games is a lot tougher to do that.
Mm-hmm. So, are you a fan of this signing? Do you think it makes sense for the Brewers to do?
I think it makes a little bit of sense, but I figured it would make more sense on a one-year deal. Milwaukee, you know, is kind of stuck in that, you know, probably second in the division behind St. Louis after they, you know, acquired Nolan Arenado this offseason. Yeah. And so, you know, the Central is really, in my opinion, between three teams, but really more two in St. Louis and Milwaukee, and then we'll see how Chicago does.
Yeah, I think it would be so much different of conversation, right, if expanded playoffs were a thing in 2021. And Evan Drellick of The Athletic wrote the article today that there will be no expanded playoffs in 2021 and no DH in the National League. Those are dead topics for this season. We'll get into the kind of Major League Baseball and the MLBPA. We'll get into that discussion once this CBA deal is up at the end of the season, December 1st. So now it's like we're kind of back to normal in the most normal way possible. So I think it would make sense that, like, the Brewers would definitely be in the mix, right? Like if it was expanded playoffs. But, like, are they in the mix right now with the regular bracket of postseason baseball?
Because even last year with the extended playoffs, they got to face the Dodgers and were the last seed in that. And so, you know, you're looking more – I feel like they had their golden opportunity back in 2018 when they were up 2 games to one against the Dodgers and just couldn't win – or they, you know, ended up going to a game 7 at home, but they just couldn't get it done that day. And so – you know, your window of opportunity to win a championship is so small, and you have to take advantage of it when you can.
Yeah, you know, and I like the signing. It's great to see a guy like JBJ get an opportunity because you don't want to see him go for, you know, 1 year, low money deal. He got his 2 years in Milwaukee. I'm excited to see what he can do. But again, like, would it have made more sense for him to stay in Boston, right? You know, to still be in Boston because it's like, the Red Sox are in that such strange predicament, but they just don't have the money to sign them.
No, they don't. And if you look at the AL East, you got Toronto that's going to mash a lot, and same as New York. And New York's starting pitching is going to be really good with Cole and, you know, Kluber coming back off an injury. So, you know, we'll see how that division ends up. But I imagine now with JBJ going off to Milwaukee, that'll end up being New York and Toronto fighting that out.
I got a question for you. I am so intrigued to hear your response because – We haven't really talked about this. So look at the American League East. You got, in no order, Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox, Orioles. How do you rank those teams coming into this season?
Well, I'll take New York is my favorite out of that division so far, just because they've had the experiences.
How close are the Yankees and Blue Jays together? How close are the Blue Jays to the Yankees since you are going with the Yankees right now?
I feel like the Yankees are a little bit ahead because of starting pitching. The Blue Jays have a great offense and a really young offense, and George Springer is going to really help them out from a leadership perspective. But I think that, you know, if you want to win the postseason, you want to win big games, you have to have dominant starting pitching and relief pitching. And, you know, Gerrit Cole is one of the Bulldogs out there in this game, in the game today, and that's the guy you want on the mound.
Now, the Blue Jays are scheduled to start this season in Florida. And then as soon as the real dog days of summer in Florida hit, they're more on track, I guess you could say, to move to Buffalo. And it could possibly be, as of right now, there's no true stance on when they're going to finally be able to play a game in Toronto, the last one in 2019. Does that affect the team to not be able to have a home, a true home ballpark?
No, I think it does affect the team because you don't know where you're going to be. And last year, you know, they had a couple of home games at visiting ballparks. And then they were, you know, in Buffalo finally. But with the AAA season being going on this year, you know, you're going to have Buffalo playing their own games and being in that, you know, AAA East division. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what the Blue Jays do from a home perspective.
So let's get into... let's do Odorizzi now. You know, we were talking about teams and what makes sense and what doesn't make sense for an outfielder, adding an outfielder in. As of right now, Jake Odorizzi, the best free agent starter still on the market. Where do you see Jake? I know where I'm going to tell you my prediction after and before we record this. I told you I'm not telling you until we're doing it live, so you don't know what team I'm going to pick. And I don't think you know what team I'm going to pick.
No, but I'll go with the Mets. The Mets lost out on Trevor Bauer. They need more starting pitching, you know, with everything they've added from Carlos Carrasco to Francisco Lindor. Those are great pickups, but you also need as much starting pitching and relief pitching as you can. And, you know, the Mets are trying to compete with the Atlanta Braves. And right now when the Atlanta Braves have Ian Anderson and Max Fried as their 1 and 2 guys, that's going to be hard to beat. To beat 19 times, you know, they're going to play 19 times this year, and that's going to be hard to beat them to win that division.
You know, I want you to guess quickly.
Have no idea.
You have no idea?
No.
I'm going to say the Houston Astros. You know why?
Well, because they don't have Justin Verlander, and they just lost Framber Valdez.
Exactly. You know, if I'm Houston, right, you still got a decent offense, obviously. You got Correa, Tuve, you know, these guys, Bregman, right? So many great guys in that lineup that I think can bounce back. But you look at that rotation. You don't have Verlander until July, August, if that. And then You lose Valdez. And now it's like, okay, now where do you go, right? The whole point of to play baseball is to win ball games. And you have a guy where it's like, if you're Houston right now, the American League West is so winnable for the Astros. So I'm going with Odorizzi to the Astros. I think the Astros are an interesting team for this club. So, yeah, I'm going Odorizzi to the Astros.
And that would make sense because the Astros need the pitching. And, you know, they're right there with Oakland, you know, and we'll see if the Angels have enough starting pitching to be, you know, in that division race. But I imagine it's going to take 85 wins to get it done this year for the American League West. And most likely you're only going to get one team out of that division going into the playoffs this upcoming season.
Yeah, so Odorizzi to the Astros for my pick. Odorizzi to the Mets for you. Two orange teams. So I guess Odorizzi will have to wear orange no matter what. What's your opinion on the Astros orange? Do you have an opinion about it?
No, not really. I mean, it goes back to the old school days, back when the Astrodome, you know, back in the 70s, 80s when they became the Astros. And everybody loves the orange and blue when we were in Houston. That's just what people in the city of Houston think of when they think of the Houston Astros. They think of the shooting star. They think of, you know, the Astrodome and everything that it's brought about.
Right. You know, I think it's so funny because I never really thought of it. I enjoy the actual uniforms. Like, I love especially the throwback ones, you know, with all the multicolor. But I was watching this. I talked to you about this. Someone sent me, it was your granddad and Pete Rose. They did a thing. And Pete asked him, did you have an opinion when you first were going to wear the uniform? And your granddad said that he thought he was going to be wearing a clown costume. So that's why I wanted to see, like, if you had an opinion or not, if you liked it or not.
No, not really. I don't really have an opinion on it. Yeah, I mean, we had a bunch of different uniform, you know, colors between orange on Friday nights and, you know, the regular whites on at home. But it's really whatever the starting pitcher feels comfortable with is what those guys are going to go with. But, yeah, that's really my opinion on it.
I wish more teams had more alternatives. I guess because, you know, I grew up a Yankee fan, so it's like you got the two. So it's like, I don't know, like maybe – like, I love the Twins. They have so many great alternates, like the baby powder blue and stuff. So underrated.
No, yeah. I mean, it really just depends on the organization, though, because the New York Yankees are not going to change. Right. You know, they're going to be the New York Yankees. The same with, like, the, you know, keeping a clean face and all of the things that go into the mystique of the New York Yankees. And so they're going to be different than any other team across the MLB.
Yeah. I'm surprised. Like, obviously, I don't think they have a choice to take part of the fan weekend or the nickname weekend when the players wear their own nicknames and stuff. Obviously, they don't have a choice for that. But, like, I'm so surprised. So strange to see them wear, like, the black alternates with the names. It's just, it feels different, you know. But for other teams, it's like, I don't know, it's just a different feel.
No, it is. I mean, with the Yankees, you're always used to the number on the back with no name on it, you know, and same as the Red Sox a little bit when they're at home, you know, when they have just the number on the back. But other than that, there's no other teams that don't do that.
So another guy, another prediction that everyone seems to be talking about this week, and, you know, it's interesting coming up now, right before the season. I don't think it's going to happen now. I think it would happen, if anything, in June, but that's Chris Bryant in the Cubs. So, do you think Chris Bryant is going to be a Chicago Cub come either the end of – I guess there's two questions, right? Do you think he's going to be a Cub come the end of the 2021 season or a Cub come the beginning of the 2022 season?
I say no to either. Okay. I think he'll be in Washington this upcoming year, in the middle of the year. Washington, obviously, losing Anthony Rendon last year is a big loss, and to fill that need. And, you know, it may be good for Chris Bryant to get out of Chicago as well and get a new start. It may help him out with his career, you know, having hitting only about 200 last year, 206, and not producing like he's used to, you know. Maybe put a little bit too much pressure on himself last year, nobody knows, but the Cubs are on that, you know, brink of teetering, and they're either going to be competing for a division or they're going to be, you know, stuck in the middle winning 70, 75 games, and they need to figure out their identity real quick.
My gut tells me he's not going to be a Cub come the end of the season or the start of the season, but my heart wants me to believe he's going to be a Cub for life. Because I remember being in high school getting notifications about him getting called up. And I remember the videos and the excitement. It was right, you know, at the start of the Cubs coming back and then finally winning a championship after the 100-plus years, right? There was that excitement of them finally having this player that they can all root for that isn't named Rizzo. And I feel like it's like the Mookie Red Sox thing, right? Like, if you told me 5 years ago that Mookie Betts is going to be traded, it's like, oh, you know, if I'm a Red Sox fan, or if it's like 20 years ago, that's like Jeter being traded to Boston or Jeter being traded to another team. It's like that isn't a thing anymore where one player sticks with the team.
Well, and it's just not what it used to be either, because you got guys that are going to get traded that want to, you know, aren't happy with their contract situations, and you're not going to have the Craig Biggios that stay. Mm-hmm. You know, 10 to 20 years or whoever.
Even David Ortiz, even though he spent a few, you know, years with another team, but still, like, he had that long run. I have a question for you. I'm interested. I never asked you this before. So, Mookie Betts traded to the Dodgers, right? That ended that kind of name brand, face of the franchise picture. It's looking like, as of right now, Chris Bryant, not as long tenured as Mookie, right around that same ballpark, going to be traded. And I'm sure there's a few big names I'm missing that. Now, like Yu Darvish, right, you know, has gone, and other players. We see the contract extension to Tatis Jr., right? Like any long contract, any big contract guy in recent years never ends up on the same team. So do you think there's a chance that Mike Trout is not an Angel for life?
Maybe. I think it depends on what the Angels do and if they keep winning or if they keep staying in their, you know, 70 to 75 winning window. You know, if you're Mike Trout, you have to think about, okay, do I want to compete for championships eventually in the future, or do I want to stay an Angel forever? You know, that's up to him. That's going to be his decision. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were to think about it, can you imagine what the Angels would get back, though, if they were to trade Mike Trout? They'd get probably 7 to 10 legit number one prospects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Angels are in a tough situation right now because they've signed a bunch of guys, Jose Quintana, Alex Cobb, guys like that. They're going to be on one-year deals, but they're not the answer to the solution eventually. And you feel like they're a gap stop. They're, you know, a stop gap.
What's that product called? I forget the name of it, but it's like, it's the duct tape that, it's like the commercial where it's a boat. And, like, the boat's leaking. And then you get this tape. And it's, like, Wonder Seal, I think it's called, right? That's what the Angels are trying to do, signing guys like the Quintanas, like the Cobbs, right? They're great pickups. They are. Like, they're a pickup. If I'm the Yankees, or if I'm the Padres, right? Or if I'm the Dodgers, and I sign an Alex Cobb, and I can slide him and slot him in the fourth or fifth spot in the rotation, or slot him in the beginning part of the bullpen. That's a great signing. But when he signed Alex Cobb or Jose Quintana and he's slated to be your number one or number two or number three to get you through a 162-game season, I personally don't see. Now, I did predict the Angels were going to win because, and only because, I guess I should have put an asterisk next to the Angels' name, if these starters that they sign can get them to the trade deadline. And if these starters can get to the trade deadline, that's when the Angels go get their ace, their Verlander, their Greinke if they can, their whoever, right? Go get your Chris Sale if the Red Sox are out of contention. Why bother keeping Chris Sale at this point? You got rid of Mookie, you got rid of Benintendi, you got rid of JBJ. Go get your Sale, go get your Verlander, your Greinke, whoever. That's why I predicted the Angels were going to win the West. But long term, doesn't make sense. The boat's sinking.
No, I mean, and the Angels too, they've got a couple prospects, but they also don't have the farm system that some of these other teams have. And, you know, if you're able to build the farm system up to win in the future, that's what you should consider as well. But I know that the Angels haven't won in a long time, and the last time they were in a postseason was against the Royals in 2014. Mm-hmm. And the last time they were really, really good was 2009 when they lost to the Yankees. And then before that was 2002 when they won it all against San Francisco. So it's been a while since they've been really good.
When was the last time the Angels again?
2002 that they won it against the Giants.
Okay. And then in 2009 they made it.
Over the ALCS and lost to the Yankees in six games.
And then, so the last time they were in the playoffs was 2009?
It was 2014 when they lost to Kansas City three straight.
Okay. I was going to think, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, okay, so the Royals didn't win in 2014. So they lost, the last time the Angels made the playoffs, they lost to the team that made it to the World Series. The time before that, they lost to the World Series champions, and then the time before that, they won. So, all right. At least you're winning, you're losing the good teams. You're not, you know, going down, you know, 0-4.
But it's still, at the end of the day, it's about winning championships. Right. And if you don't win, you know, nobody really cares about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's our predictions for Chris Bryant. So we both say no to both of the questions, whether or not he'll be a Cub by the end of the year and then the start one. But we both say no. I mean, that's what I predict. That's what my gut's telling me. I hope it doesn't happen, right? My heart tells me he signs a long-term deal with the Cubs. But I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't either.
All right. Next on the list, what do we want to do first? Triple A or spring training? Do you mind? Okay. I guess Triple A. We'll get into Triple A. I guess the one downside of the news this week, somewhat expected, just from sources that were out there. I was hopeful that the sources, you know, wouldn't come to fruition, but it happened. Triple A season got pushed back 1 month. They're now scheduled to open up May 6th, so pushing back the April 6th start date to May 6th. What they're doing, I think, is really interesting. I mean, this season, we all knew it coming in was not going to be regular in any sense. There's some aspects to it, right? But it just feels different. And Triple A season is going to go through almost the whole month of September now, which we've never seen before. So how do you think that's going to come into effect? Obviously, doing it this way, you can have more fans and all those things. And hopefully, by the end of the season, we are back to somewhat 100% normal.
Yeah, no, I mean, first off, it's just interesting to see because you got college baseball being played with fans. You've got Major League spring training games being played with fans. And so, you know, you just wonder why are they pushing it back a month, which nobody's really going to know the answer a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But it's just very interesting. And also, too, you know, to not have a 40, you know, to not have basically everybody on the 40-man going up, you know, in September to the big leagues and only having 26 to 28 guys in a big league clubhouse is going to help, you know, those AAA teams because the teams that are fighting for AAA playoffs, which, you know, some organizations care about their minor leagues winning in the postseason, you know, will be able to help those guys, you know, maybe win a championship. And so, you know, it's never really been all the way through September, but, you know, you just kind of do the best you can and you adjust on the fly. And, you know, I just look forward now to May 6th and getting our season started in Round Rock.
Yeah, you know, and I can't wait to experience it like a true minor league season, and that we'll have to wait a little bit longer, but not too much. It's not, I mean, at least we'll have a season, right? You know, mm-hmm. I think that's the hope is like, okay, we can wait one more month, you know, at this point, if that means that we'll be able to play in front of more fans, you know, and I think that is a silver lining of it. You always got to find some positive twist on it. I know it's tough on a lot of these organizations and teams and the staff that have worked so hard. And the other side of it, too, it gives the staff more time because some of these staffs are now returning to full time after all the furloughs and layoffs. So now it's like they kind of were rushing things to get started. I know it was different for every single team, but I think it all around one more month can help some other people to just kind of get more situated to create even a better season for some teams.
Yeah, no, I mean, but also some teams, you know, already have their staff mm-hmm. and they're looking ready to go. And, you know, it's all about now you're trying to figure out from a minor league perspective, what are you going to do for that extra month? Are you going to have more concerts? Are you going to have more events? Are you going to, not have anything, try to have an alternate site, you know, for all these big league teams that you're close connected to, you know,
by
at
the way,
their
the
facility.
Paw Sox, or no, they're not the Paw Sox, they're the Woo Sox, excuse me. The Woo Sox, that's their alternate site for the Red Sox, and they're allowing fans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, that just doesn't make sense. So like you're delaying the, you know, the season a month, but you're still having games being played at, and that's up north. You know, mm-hmm. So the restrictions are tighter than down south than here. And so it's like, it's just interesting, right? So I don't know. That's my two cents. It's interesting, right? Like you said, like it's...
It just is what it is, and you just roll with it, and you know, you go on, and you get ready for opening day in May.
Yeah. So, spring training on that topic, I guess it goes into this, right? And how it's different. Like, it's spring training. It feels like we got baseball back, right? But something just different about it, right? And I think the biggest thing for me is, like, I grew up on the spring training rules. Jeez, like when I first started watching spring training, I didn't realize that they didn't play extra innings. And I was like, what are you doing? You're going to end the game at a tie? Now, I guess the managers agreed to end the inning if they're losing or if they want to just end the game after 6.5 innings. We're calling it. We're done. We're waving that white flag. We're heading to the golf course. Or an outdoor eating, right? We're done. We're done for the day. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, now that there's fans being allowed back into the park, like, I totally get it. And I'm on board, right? If I'm just watching the game, I don't care. But if I'm getting a ticket to these very hard to come by spring training games, and this is my first baseball game that I went to in over a year, I'm going to be upset that they're rolling an inning. Or that they're ending the game after 6.5 innings.
And no, I guess it would be that, you know, they hit their pitch limits or, you know, whatever for rolling the innings. Or, you know, maybe certain guys have hit already enough for today and they want to pull them out. But it just doesn't make too much sense because, you know, that's not what's going to happen in the regular season. And so, you know, I guess they're trying to figure out, though, from a perspective of, okay, this is the pitch limit we want them to have and this is what we're doing, but... You know, at the end of the day, like you said, if I was a fan, I'd be upset as well because you're not getting in the full experience.
You know, I guess one of my biggest pet peeves, and you got me going now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest pet peeve, even from being a hardcore baseball fan from 2013 till today, right? From 2013 and in that 2013 to 2015 time period, right? The one thing about baseball that I think either made a lot of people annoyed what a lot of people liked is that it was consistent. And the game has mostly been consistent throughout the whole year, right? And I get it, it's a different climate and it's a different whatever right now. But at what point, like in the regular season last year, you had extra inning games that would be started with a runner on second base. But then you get to the postseason and that rule is just gone. Where is the consistency that baseball is built on? If you say, you know what, Alex, we're doing runner on second in extra innings for us a time. Okay, I'm fine. But if you say, well, we're going to do this rule in spring training, then we're going to do this rule in the regular season, that's going to be completely thrown out the window, back to normal in classic baseball in the postseason, and it makes no sense to me. Like, why? Why? Why do you do it?
I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer for you.
So that's my right. Like, so you're telling me, right? And I know it's not you that's saying, well, because of the inning limits and stuff. Like Major League Baseball and these teams, right, do realize no minor league baseball was played. So you're telling me that no one that's a part of the organization need one inning? Like, what is one inning different? Like the Angels, and I forget the team that they played today, they played 8.5 innings.
The Diamondbacks.
They said, we're playing 8.5. Playing, what's a half different? You're telling me that there's not two pitchers that you can call on to add on the roster?
I agree with you.
It just makes no sense to me. It makes no sense. Where is the consistency?
No, but like you said earlier, if you're going to tell me that, you know, you're going to have a runner at second, that's fine with me because it's more of a chess game in the extra innings. You know, you can consider a bunt. You consider playing for the big run, you know. But if you're going to say, hey, we're going to do this, you know, start a runner at second in the regular season and not do it in the postseason, that's just a little weird. Because nobody's going to be rolling innings during the regular season. That's just not going to happen. And right. It's not going to happen during the postseason.
Right.
And I totally agree with you in the fact that there's not one minor league pitcher that wants to get innings in, or there's not one scout that wants to see a minor league pitcher get an inning in, or wants to see, you know, this hitter face this pitcher that's in, you know, Triple A against a Double A guy, but, you know, they may see each other down the road in, you know, 6 months from now because they're both in the major leagues. And, you know, you're always trying to find the guys out of spring training that can help you, you know, win a championship. You're always trying to find the 26th guy. You're always trying to find that fourth outfielder. You're always trying to find that super utility Marwin Gonzalez type of player.
Mm-hmm.
You're always trying to find your backup catcher. You're always trying to find, you know, who your setup guys are going to be. Who's your long relievers? Who's your middle relievers? Who's going to be your fourth and fifth starter? You know, how are we going to do things? You know, if our superstar gets hurt, who's going to fill that position? And so that's what spring training is for, because you get to assess your team and all other 29 teams that are there.
And not only that, but it's also, if I'm just a fan, it makes me understand, okay, hey, I really like that Chris Bryant who's coming up the ranks, or I really like that Bobby Witt Jr., if
Jeter
I'm a Royals
Downs
fan. Yeah, Jeter Downs, right? Like, oh, wow, like Bobby Witt Jr., and I understand he's more of a household name, even though he hasn't made his debut. But still, like, you get to see a Bobby Witt Jr. play.
The Kyle Isbells.
Right.
The Khalil Lees. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it.
Right. You know, and that's just, you know, we're just picking on the Royals because I know, you know, Jackson and I know them a little bit better than other teams right at the top of our head. It goes for every team, you know, that you can really undersee. Like, you can see the Brandon Marsh is otherworld, right? And you can start becoming a fan. So it makes the fan more buy-in at the lower level, the minor league level, more exciting.
And you get, from a Ranger perspective, you get to see the Josh Jungs, the Sam Hoffs, the Leo Di Tavares's. So, you know, you want to figure out who your guys are. And those, you know, even though they may be boring to the casual fan, that's six through ninth inning in a spring training game is very vital. That fifth through ninth inning is to see, you know, who's going to be in Double A, who's going to be in Single A, who's going to be in Triple A.
Yeah.
And now when minor league guys come in April, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, okay, well, you know, have they been throwing over the offseason? You know, if so, how much? You know, who's been seeing legit coaching over the break? Who's not been seeing any coaching? Who's put in the work and who hasn't? You know, and you're going to end up seeing what happens.
You know, one thing that I want to touch on quickly is when you were talking about the extra innings, runner at second base, and then stopping it in postseason ball. You know, Vinny Pasquantino, I host a podcast with him. And so Vinny, in the 2019 Appalachian League, it was a short season affiliate league. So in the Appy League, in the regular season, if it went to extra innings, had a runner on second to start, right? So they go in, play the playoffs. They're playing the Pulaski Yankees. They had an extra inning game, a postseason game that went extra innings. Went 18 innings, Jackson. And Vinny said both teams completely forgot how to score a run in the extra innings without having a runner on second base.
Yeah,
so there's that consistency.
Well, they all try to hit probably home runs too, especially the home team, you know. And when you do that, you get yourself in the strikeouts. And, you know, every guy today is throwing 92 plus, I mean, for the most part. And so, you know, when you forget to do that, then you got to get a walk and you got to get a single, move them over. And you kind of have that mix of old school and new school baseball.
Hey, I have a question for you. How fast, because, I mean, pitchers are throwing so fast now, right? You know, like the average where it's like 10 years ago, a guy's throwing like 100. You're like, holy crap. Now it's like, what do you mean? He's only throwing 99? That's slow. So where do you think, like, 10 years from now, pitchers are going to be?
I have no clue, but the guys today are bigger, faster, and stronger than they ever have been before. And that goes to all their off-season programs. That goes to the, you know, the sleep, the nutrition that guys are talking about today. Because, you know, back 10 years ago in the clubhouse, it used to be guys were eating pizzas, hamburgers, hot dogs. And now it's all, you know, nutrition out on everything that they need to do from an organizational perspective. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. But
110? Is that like,
if you use every ounce of your body, you could, but you got to go from your feet all the way to your head. And, you know, and you got a GFF, and you got to be able to get yourself moving as fast as you can to the plate.
So, I mean, I forget his name, but he just threw 103 yesterday. So it's like
Hunter Green, maybe?
Yeah, Hunter Green. He threw 101, 102, 103, right? So it's like, okay, he's at 103. So now it's like, where's the limit? 5 years, 10 years from now.
But I'll say this too: 103 is great, but if you can't locate guys, right, you're gonna hit it around.
Yeah.
And so it all comes down to difference in these guys is if they can locate
pitching and throwing.
Do they have a breaking ball? Because if they have that slider that's 92, 93, that's going like this, that has a big depth, you know, and getting people to swing and miss at it, then they're gonna be very successful.
Do you think a guy like R.A. Dickey would have so much more success in today's game because his style of pitching is almost like not existent anymore?
I don't know, to be honest with you. He may, but I would think he would have success going one or two times through the lineup, not three. Because Major League,
he ran into issues with that, you know, in his whole career.
When
too.
You see a guy three times, you're really going to get the timing on him.
Mm.
You know, but that's a very interesting question. Or, you know, how does Rich Hill compare to some of these other guys? Because Rich Hill's a big curveball guy, get guys out on their front foot, and you know he's done a lot of great things with the Dodgers, and I know he's not with the Rays.
And we could go into so much more conversation on pitchers. And I really would love to have a conversation about this. Guys that have had Hall of Fame potential careers, the CC Sabathia. I'm not saying he has the potential, right? Or had the potential to be a Hall of Famer. He could be. You got the Justin Verlanders of the world.
Who are
Hall of Fame status, right?
Clayton Kershaw.
Right. And Kershaw is an interesting case, too. And this is going to be one of our next podcasts. Be interesting to ask this question about with Tom House this coming. Because it's like, what I think people don't talk about enough is the Hall of Fame status pitchers that are like Clayton Kershaw right now. Like if he retired, he could probably be a Hall of Famer, right?
He is, same as Justin Verlander.
Right. But look at their back end of their career, where they're at now. Like Kershaw, he said going into the offseason, he wants to get his velocity back up. It's been falling behind a little bit. It's gone down. I think his fastball was sitting like 91, 92. His fastball in the spring training, 93, 94. So he's figuring out how to change and grow his style and kind of reform.
But you have to put in the work, but you have to, it has to be everything. It has to be mental, emotional, sleep, nutrition, like everything you're doing, you have to change. And, you know, you got to be able to put that into a positive mindset and, you know, be dedicated to your work every day, and, you know, get 1% better every day.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I think it's just so interesting because you don't really hear about it with the hitters, right? Like, the David Ortiz of the world always hit home runs. Like, yeah, like, you would hear the grind that Ortiz had to go through in his final season where he had to get to the ballpark 6, 7, 8 hours before just a stretch and to get ready for the games. But, like, what Verlander has done, right, and I think, you know, I tweeted this earlier, I'm jumping on the Corey Kluber bandwagon here. What Kluber looked like, I get it, it was two innings in a spring training, but what Corey Kluber looked like, he looked like the Cy Young, Corey Kluber potential from 3 years ago. And if he's able to come back after only throwing two innings in 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. And if he's able to kind of pivot, right, and to figure out who Corey Kluber is in 2021, I think that's just such a topic that goes so unrecognized in today's game.
No, yeah, I think it does. I just also think about from a Corey Kluber perspective, you know, is he in shape to go a whole, you know, 162 game season, which, you know, you're not obviously going to throw that many games, but, you know, you're going to get your 20 starts in. Can he be healthy? Because if he is, it's a great investment by the Yankees. But if he only goes, five starts, four starts, right, and on the IL, then it's not a great signing.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's a no-loss situation for the Yankees.
Right. You know, but, man, we'll get into this. We'll have a whole episode probably about it, but that's what we're going to do. But overall, any final notes that you want to add?
No, just looking forward to next week having Tom House on the show. We'll have that episode out for y'all on Monday and look forward to seeing what goes along this weekend over spring training games.
Yeah, for Jackson, I'm Alex Views. Leave a comment or tweet us if you have any ideas of things that, you know, I guess we can take fan questions at all times too. Anyone wants to send in any questions that we'll answer or ask people about if they have an interest in. So thank you all for tuning in to this Bottom Line Baseball podcast. This was a lot of fun, and I hope you enjoyed listening to it. But be a subscriber. Leave that five-star review on wherever you listen to your podcasts or watch them. But for Jackson, I'm Alex Hughes. Have a great rest of your Friday and start to the weekend. You got a full slate of baseball games. So enjoy it, and we will be seeing you on Monday with Tom House.